Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Rise.
Wake up.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
All right, good morning, everyone. What is going on? Happy Friday to all. Happy payday Friday to all that celebrate. Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni with Joe Shasky. Brand new day, Giants, and the trade deadline has come and gone. They get right back at it later on tonight. In the meantime, we got to sort of try to figure out what happened in the last 24 hours, which is obviously the result of, I'd say, the last 6 weeks. But before we dig in, we got sound from Buster Posey, Zach Manassian, and more coming your way here on The Roast. What's up, Shasky? Good morning.
What's up, buddy? I think yesterday was an interesting day. It was an interesting day on probably multiple levels. I thought it wasn't about what they got back in return. Time's going to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember everybody throwing this ticker taper parade on the day that Darren Ruff was dealt for a hole. We got a hole. I mean, you're seeing Carson Seymour, who's one of the guys that was in that hall. And, you know, I mean, if he's a serviceable reliever, that'd be a great trade. Great trade. So we don't know. Okay. Time will tell. I just think what it represented for the San Francisco Giants was the self-awareness and the actual realization of what they are currently and where they want to go for next year and into the future. And, you know, some really good Giants who brought great contributions, good contributions, depending on how you view it, seeing them take a hike and open up spots for other guys, I think was the right move, number one. And specifically Yaz and I think Tyler Rogers, because they're not under contract for next year. And those are guys that, although did decent to great contributions for you,
yeah,
like it was time to see what other people have to bring to the table. Now, Camilo Duvall, I think, represents kind of frustration for me in the sense of untapped, unrealized potential that tantalized you at times, but for whatever reason, it felt like couldn't sustain. And it almost was like the teaser of the entire Farhan regime. Man, we found this guy. He came out of nowhere. Wow. He throws 103. Wow. If they could get him right, what could he do? And then he showed you like, hey, I could lead baseball in saves on a team that's in 79 win team. It's like, wow, what could he be? And then disappointment. And then just, is he ever going to be right and be that elite guy that he showed flashes of? Like, it's, I think Camilo's the most frustrating Giant over the last 5 years, if I was going to like pinpoint one, because I do believe he has like high end upside talent, but I also understand why you made the move. And then it felt like, I don't know, of the guys you got back the right haul. I just thought so many messages were sent yesterday by Buster Posey and the Giants.
Yeah, I think the biggest message for me was Buster Posey, whether it's because he was forced to or because he wanted to, he's interested in change. You look at the guys that they sent out, and to me yesterday, We'll find out if any of these players turn out to be anything. Maybe the Giants use them in other deals to go get more guys. A lot of them are AAA, close to ready talent. We can talk about all that. Yesterday was about distancing yourself from the prior regime. I thought it was about Buster Posey and Zach Manassian, who obviously was a part of the Farhan Zaidi era, distancing themselves from the way they'd done things the previous couple of years. And it didn't include a fire sale. It was obviously an idea we batted around a lot yesterday. They didn't sell on Ray. They didn't even get off of Flores or Verlander, other expiring contracts. They got off of Tyler Rogers, Mike Yastrzemski, Camilo Doval. Yaz and Rogers particularly were, like, those are Farhan guys. Yaz came over in a throwaway deal in 2019. Tyler Rogers, also previously with the Orioles organization, was a guy who basically they found and turned into an absolute gem and became a big part of this team. Both made great contributions in the 2021 season. Yaz is Mr. Grand Slam, had all these massive moments throughout his six-plus seasons here. But yesterday was about getting rid of, I don't want to call it a stench, but just a feeling of, well, we're not really going anywhere, and we don't really know what we're doing. I think, too, we're going to, like, Posey's trying to establish some direction. So yesterday, I did think they took maybe not every step that everyone wanted to. Maybe they didn't get every prospect or all the highly touted guys that people wanted to, but they took a step in the direction of distancing themselves from where the Giants have been, honestly, for the majority of the last six seasons, which is kind of about 500.
You can make an argument Tyler Rogers has been their most elite player over like a 5-year period.
Definitely the most consistent.
From the entire 5 years. I mean, Yaz is different for me. I'm going to throw this at you. You could agree, disagree. Maybe it doesn't move you one way or the other. I don't know. I have seen Mike Yastrzemski, to me, and what he represents with the Giants, is very reminiscent of what Gary Payton II brings to the table for the Warriors.
I like that.
Okay, and the reason where I'm going with this is, like, on a winning team, on a good team, boy, he's a perfect fit. He's a perfect fit. I think Yaz, with an unbelievable pop hitter in left field, Yaz is a great ball player to have in the 7-8-9 slot.
He's a fourth outfielder on a good team, on a great team.
Sure. Late game substitution, absolutely. I think you can get away with starting him every single day if you have the right lineup around him and he's batting commiserate to where he should be batting. Again, 7-8-9. Like, that's where he should be. On this team, he has been miscast, you know, in years prior as a 3-4-5 hitter, which he's not. It's not his fault, but, like, because of the circumstance and the roster around him,
he's a leadoff guy.
Well, that's what he was doing this year. And why? Because Jungle Lee stinks. And as a leadoff guy, as a top of the order catalyst, I think that's what we all wanted him to be. Ideally, when you look at his splits, first lefties versus righties, he last year was way closer against lefties and righties than he had ever been at any point. He's not a guy you want to have with long stretches against lefties. That's not exclusive to him. There's a lot of left-handed hitters that struggle against lefties in general. But to your point, yeah, he's more of like a platooner, right situation kind of guy. But he's a winning player. And similar to Gary Payton, and I've said this for a while, if I'm the coach, I'm the manager, and I'm sitting here and I'm trying to win today, Yaz's a great defender. He is going to do the little things, like put a bunt down properly in a specific game situation to help you move that runner over. He is going to be able to go first to third. He's a smart ball player. Think of how many times he did something dumb on the base pass in the last 6 years. I can't think of one. Can you?
No.
Right? Like, he's a smart, good ball player. I like Yaz. Like, I do. I like Yaz. But I think he represents the frustration of fans as an avatar. And the reason why I think is such is because when you're a middling team that isn't necessarily that playoff team that I think he can really contribute on, when you're not competing for championships, when you're hovering around 500, he's just good enough to stymie the opportunities for younger players who you have high hopes for and may not be better than that guy today. Matos is not better than Yaz today. He's not. He's just not. I don't know if he's ever going to be better than him. But every day, he is stymieing the opportunity for a guy to get a look at like a Matos, like a Luciano. Maybe it's Grant McRae. All these random guys. In the same way, I defend Steve Kerr for playing GP2 ahead of a Moses Moody, ahead of a Jonathan Kuminga. Because I do think GP2 is going to help that team on that night win today more so than those other guys. But it's like, the development you need to be committed to see on the back end if they're ever going to be better than that guy. Does that make sense?
I think it does. And look, by the way, shout out to everybody on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni with Joe Shasky, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. This is what we got coming up today. Bobby Evans, former Giants general manager, now back with the team in an advisory role, is going to join us at 11 o'clock. And then, of course, Bonte Hill is coming on at 9 o'clock live from Niners training camp, all in the River Islands guest line. I think what you're getting at and what I also feel is Yaz and Rodgers, they're overachievers.
100%.
And that's what the Giants have been for the last, I think they're players, not the team itself, outside of 2021. That team overachieved by every single metric.
It's incredible.
Estimation, yeah. Expectation. That team overachieved in every way possible. But that's not sustainable.
Mm-mm.
Putting together a ball club of overachievers is eventually going to run you into trouble. And I think that's what Buster Posey has, as much as, look, he was on that team. He's gotten rid of now four of his teammates, if you include Duvall. Duvall, Rodgers, Yaz, and Lamont Wade, who he released earlier this year. The only guy, I believe, that's left from that 2021 team, and outside of, at least on the position player side, is Wilmer Flores. So he's trying, I think he's identified this group of guys as, although they accomplished something great in an individual season, that can't be what leads the Giants for the next 5 years. And so while, again, the haul may not have been great, it's about the message and the direction that the front office is trying to set.
Do you play video games?
I don't as much anymore. But
okay. Have you ever played like Madden or any?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, of
2K?
Course. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, and again, this is not how everyday life. Some guys just go up and down. They're all over the place. And some guys like Rich Gannon, out of nowhere in their 30s, get incrementally better. But like, if Yaz is a video game player, let's say he's at a 75 right now. Okay, in terms of his overall, that would be his rating, right? And those guys that I'm referencing, the Matoses, the Lucianos, they're somewhere between a 65 and a 70 today, okay? Right? Overall.
Sure.
Okay, I'm just throwing out numbers. Yaz is 34 years old. By the end of this year, maybe he's a 74. And by the end of next year, maybe he's a 73, all right? And right now, your guy Matos is a 65. But if you play him for a couple of months, and I'm just hypothetical, and he goes off and he shows something, maybe by the end of next year, he's a 76 or a 77. Maybe he's not. Maybe he stays a 65. But I think you kind of owe it to yourself to get a look at that guy. You know what I mean? To get a look at some of these combinations of guys who today are not better overall ball players than what Yaz is. But I'm owing it to me, these guys, the team, the organization, to get a look, just to get a look. And I think you can make the case, hey, play that overachieving guy. Like, and I'll give you probably one of the greatest examples of an overachiever, Ryan Vogelsong.
Yeah.
You can have a Ryan Vogelsong in your rotation when you have Kane and Lincecum and a young 20-year-old Bumgarner.
Yeah, you can't have him lead your rotation.
Exactly. And so, you know, these supplemental role guys, Wilmer's another one. They're great. When you have foundational pieces that are playing like all-stars, you can have those guys in the mix. And I just think that Yaz too many times was miscast by the front office, not the fans, miscast by the front office because of the lack of no one else in that lineup as a 3-4-5 hitter. And he's just not. I mean, I bet if I looked at his game logs, the amount of times he was forced to hit 3-4 or 5 is so unfair. It's just so unfair to him. You know, for the longest time, I did the same thing with Brandon Belt. And I know Belt's a significantly better overall player than what Yaz was. I never viewed him as a 3-4-5 hitter. On a great lineup team, he's a 6 or 7 hitter. That's where you want him. But you're miscast. I think Chapman currently is miscast as a 4 hitter on this team. I want him as a 6 hitter. Don't you?
I mean, in a perfect position. But if Chapman is giving you, like, We talked about it a little bit. Like, I do think his injury messed up a bit of what was happening this season.
Agreed.
But, I mean, I think on those A's teams that he was great on, the year he hit 36 home runs, I think he was hitting third or fourth. But when he's not, when he's hitting 240 like he's a 5 hitter. He's on the back end of the middle of your order, who's going to give you pop, but is not somebody you expect to step to the plate and hit 285. You know, I think, Yaz, you're right. During the 2021 season, he was hitting in the bottom half of the lineup. Sometimes he'd hit a little bit higher, but that's because he had protection around him. That's how he hit 25 home runs. On a guy that you didn't expect to have that much pop. So, like, the Giants right now are trying to figure out who needs to stay, who needs to go. I am curious what people thought about the trade deadline in regards to the people that did stay. Like, I was a bit surprised that they didn't move off of Wilmer Flores, that they didn't move off of Justin Verlander. Verlander's a little bit different because he has a no-trade clause, but Flores is somebody that, like, yes, you went out and you got a top 20 prospect, the guy who's in, I think, single A with the Royals, not that Junior Marte, a different Junior Marte. And I got bamboozled, too, by that. But then you basically are just shipping him on. I mean, you could have done that with Flores. What it means to me is that I think they're trying to get more of a look at what's in their outfield.
Yes.
And they feel like they're, whether it's they're close to the bigs or already in the bigs type of talent, is going to be able to fill that spot more than we might not see Eldridge for a whole lot this season.
No, we might. But the other thing I would like to caution myself with, I did this not to this degree. I was skeptical on Fitzgerald. I was excited with what I saw. But just because one of these guys, or two or three of these guys in the outfield, does something significant over the last 2 months, does not mean that they're going to be able to carry that over into next year, and that's who they are. You know, Fitz had, a three-week stretch where he looked like Willie Mays at the plate.
He was hitting like Willie Adames last July.
It was unbelievable. And then defensively, he was kind of an adventure. Ryan Walker was amazing in the final 2 months of the season last year. And we kind of found out, that might not be exactly who he is. So we just need to caution ourselves. Yes, I want to get a look at all these guys. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to correlate to next year. Wilmer Flores. I don't get it. I like Wilmer. I think Wilmer would have helped a lot of different teams out there. I don't even think it's about getting anything back. It's about more just kind of moving on. So right now, Luciano, give Luciano some looks as a DH. I don't care if he's batting 220 down in the minors. I really don't care. I think that these guys all deserve opportunities to just get a look so that you know what they are before you say goodbye to them or before that you make long-term plans for them. I don't understand why they got rid of him. Tyler Rogers makes total sense. I was surprised Tyler Rogers' haul felt better than the Yankee haul that you got for Camilo Duvall. Now, again, these guys have to be good, so both hauls could just end up stinking.
Well, this is something
it was surprising.
I'm interested in because, and we're going to talk to Bobby Evans at 8 o'clock, sometimes the number next to the prospect isn't everything.
Sure.
Some teams' farm systems are better. Some teams are worse. The Yankees, for example, have put out a lot of really good catching prospects. Carlos Narvaez in Boston, Yankee catching prospect. Agustin Ramirez, who smacked the hell out of the Giants earlier this year with the Marlins, catching prospect. I don't know. Maybe that guy, Jesus Rodriguez, the Giants just loved, even though he's not a top 10 guy, as opposed to Tidwell and Gilbert from New York. But I do have to say, I guess I was a little underwhelmed when I saw it, just compared to what the rest of the closers were netting their teams.
Sure.
And look, if those guys pan out and they turn out to be good, it's a great trade. But yeah, I was kind of with you. I wanted them to trade Duvall yesterday, but then after I saw what they got for him, in a way I'm wondering, Shasky, should they have just tried to keep him?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I also wonder, did they wait till the end to start shopping him?
It was at the buzzer.
I know, but I'm saying, did they, were they hey, we're pretty content on keeping him? And then and all these relievers go, and even though they traded Tyler Rogers first, were they more intent on keeping him? Then they saw what some of the other hauls were for some of the other closers, and oh, all right, we got to do it. But by then, maybe the market wasn't as hot on closers. I don't know. I can make an argument. Camilo Duvall is one of the most frustrating woulda, coulda, shouldas in the last decade, just in base sports. Because I do think there's a good player in there somewhere. I don't even know how good. If I told you he found his way and somehow took the closer spot, whether it's in New York or somewhere else, and he finished his career with 350 saves, would it really surprise you?
350 saves?
Yeah.
It would.
He's at like 100 and something already.
Well, it would just because of how inconsistent he is.
Okay.
Yeah, it would.
I think he's got the talent. But again, to realize that talent is a whole separate thing. But if I also told you he flamed out, would you be surprised there?
No, I wouldn't. And look, his best year was in 2023. He had 39 saves, led the NL in saves, and everybody, it was an all-star season. It was Tranquilo Camilo. It looked like he was going to be the next Rob Nen or the next big closer for the Giants. And
Be Weezy.
This year, he definitely showed flashes, but there was never that level of, all right, this game's over. Like the moment, and that's how it felt in 2023 and before. When Camilo Doval came into the game, that game was done. And last year and this year, there's been a little less of that.
I think his biggest problem, there's two of them. There's first off, command of whatever that fastball is, that cutter. He went from 103 to, all right, now I'm going to throw this cutter, and he could never locate it. And then he would fall in love because he couldn't locate it with the slider, which wasn't a great pitch for him. It really wasn't. Even though I know we think it is, it's not. He would fall behind in counts. He would walk too many guys. And one of the hallmarks of poor relievers is you walk guys. You can't walk guys. And I wonder how much the pitch clock got into his dome. Because he used to go super slow, and then the pitch clock came around, and it felt like he short-circuited in New York that first weekend when the pitch clock came around, whatever it was, 2023, and he just never really quite was the same. And look, you could make an argument he never really truly recovered from the scar tissue from Game 5 where he couldn't throw a strike and grooved one into Bellinger, and he went right back up the middle. You know, that series against the Dodgers, Game 5, that ninth inning, is etched in my brain. I'm sure it's etched in everyone's brain. And it's just every time he would miss a couple of pitches, here we go. You know, and it's just he has the talent, but there was the mechanical issues of throwing strikes. There was the mental component of throwing strikes. He just would short circuit on the mound, and it felt like you saw it coming.
Camilo Doval goes to the Yankees. Tyler Rogers to the Mets. Mike Yastrzemski to the Royals. The Giants make three moves yesterday. They get a haul of prospects back. We're going to listen to Buster Posey and Zach Manassi and break them down for you when we come back. And we're going to listen to a lot of sound today. Posey, his general manager, spoke to the media yesterday on a Zoom call. And I think there's a lot to glean from it, both about what the front office is feeling right now, the frustration of the last 6 weeks that drove them to trading three players, and a potential resignation, not just to the rest of the season, but kind of what they're trying to do right now. You know, what direction did yesterday signal, and how much of the front office is believing that, I don't know, maybe the last 6 weeks is not who they are, doesn't need to determine where they go. Did you like that they didn't buy? Did you like that they sold? Did you like what they got? 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. That's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Valkyrie's playing good basketball, Shasta.
Kate Martin is my spirit animal. I love watching her play. She's just a dog. No, I'm dead serious. She is a pit bull. I love watching her play. Going back to Iowa, she's just always been a solid player. I thought that was one of their best under the radar acquisitions this last year. She's just a good player. And she wasn't playing a lot prior to the injury to Caleb Thornton, but it's good to see her playing more.
Well, and look, I was out yesterday at an anonymous cafeteria, was watching the game while I was checking out the Hall of Fame game.
Can we stop this cafeteria cap? I mean, what are we doing? It's not a cafeteria. You guys are at a bar. Just, like, call it what it is.
Well, I wasn't with the rest of the crew. I'm just saying I was out yesterday. I was on Polk at, you know, bouncing between spots.
I think it's creepy that 65-year-old Matt Stymets refers to the bar as the cafeteria.
They serve food.
What is he, Mr. Beldine in this particular circumstance?
Well, but maybe
Saved
I went to get
Bell.
Maybe I went to get tater tots. Maybe I didn't go to grab a
establishment where that serves alcohol. I mean, geez Louise. You shouldn't have alcohol anywhere near a schoolyard. That's a cafeteria. Cafeteria is for school kids.
Cafeteria
or a hospital.
For adults. Anyways, I was out there yesterday watching the Hall of Fame game, watching our former Niners great Trey Lance
Now I want to know where you were.
I was at Greens on Polk.
Okay, keep going.
So I'm sitting at the...
Such a hipster block now.
I'm sitting at the... Yes, it is, actually.
If I told people 20 years ago what Polk Street actually looked like and what it looks like now, your mind would be blown.
Bob's Donuts is still the same.
Yeah, Polk was gross.
It was gross, Dougie. It was gross. And then Swan's Oyster Depot, like, tried to, you know, repair the whole era. Red Devil Lounge. I remember watching Barry Zito strumming a guitar at the Red Devil Lounge one night. Yeah, he must have been high on peyote or something. I don't know. But keep going. Just continue your
Polk
story.
You can still find some grudge.
You are a hipster, but
keep
going.
Shout out Cozy Car. You can find some grudge down on Polk Street.
Yeah, but it's not even close to what it used to be. I would pull into a parking spot, and there'd be five naked guys who are homeless fighting each other over the needle that they were going to punch themselves with.
Just go closer to market. You can still find some.
Oh, trust me. I'm well aware.
So I'm sitting there watching.
I've ruined your story.
No. I'm just watching the game with a couple fans, and they're season ticket holders for the Valkyries. And I'm sitting there watching Trey Lance go right up and down the field for the Chargers and, you know, watching the football game. And they are just they're doing play-by-play like Kevin Dana was doing. It was just really cool to go out to just a random bar and see season ticket holders for the Valkyries basically just be locked into this game like they were at Chase Center. It was cool.
There used to be a joke back in the day. The only San Franciscans or people who have intimate knowledge of the street names in San Francisco, there used to be, if you find yourself on Polk, you better run to Bush and Hyde. Joke. I know. I'm going to let it hang there. Carter's laughing because he got it. But you know what? I'm just going to... I'll get canceled one day. I'm literally just naming streets, but that's what they used to be.
Bush and Hyde.
Carter's laughing. Come on.
All right, let's get
into... Shout out McTeagues.
Yeah, let's get into some of this Buster
Posey
sound.
Where's Tim Coyne? Where's Rimmer at? My homie. God, Polk Street. You guys are such hipsters.
You want to keep going?
I mean, it's funny to me. I'm stopped in my tracks when I hear about you guys hanging out on Polk Street.
You have a friend named Rimmer?
Well, that's his nickname. Oh, yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah, we're talking today about all these fake people that apparently everybody knows.
Oh, no. The Coyne family is a great family. I love them. I will not disrespect them in any way. I love Timmy. Timmy's one of my favorite people on the planet. Guy's jacked out of his mind. You and him would get along.
I believe it. All right, you want to listen to Posey?
Let's hear Posey.
All right, so this was yesterday from the Zoom call after the Giants, of course, made three trades yesterday and the day before. Tyler Rogers to the Mets, Camilo Doval to the Yankees, and actually, technically, after the buzzer, after the 3 o'clock deadline, Mike Yastrzemski goes to the Royals for prospects and more. This is Buster Posey on how difficult it was to go from essentially buyers 6 weeks ago to a place where now you're below 500 and you had to move off of players?
We wanted to be in a different position to add. Unfortunately, you know, the way we played, had to make a decision here to try to add some talent that we felt like could help us going forward. You know, like I knew when I took this job that one of the harder parts was going to be at some point, you know, moving on from guys that I had a personal relationship with and I played with. Yeah, that's not an easy phone call or conversation to have in person. But overall, I think Zach and myself and the rest of the group are happy with the players that we have coming to put on a Giants uniform now.
I didn't get the feeling that yesterday, and we'll continue down listening to, I didn't get the feeling Posey sounded happy yesterday.
No, I think he was frustrated because, look, nobody is planning to be mediocre or below average, right?
No, like, but some people are more prepared for it than others.
Oh, no, that I would agree with. Like, you know when you're fielding a bad team. Trust me, I've coached many teams where I'm like, yeah, I'm just looking at the layup line here and we don't got it.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm well aware of that. But I also think that, you know, there are certain guys that are maniacally competitive. You know, John Lynch, Posey, these guys are like competitionaholics.
Exactly.
Not saying that some of the other guys aren't that run these teams, but I do believe that there is like a, you know, a thirst to win at all cost for some people that is, supersedes others. And I think that he is extremely disappointed that they've had to do this.
Well, and this next one to me really, really says it all. Like, if I'm going to try and I think it was Ann Killing that asked the question, like, how did this happen? This is the question that everybody has wanted answered, that everybody can't figure out. And so let's go to the source. Let's go to the president of baseball operations. Hey, Buster Posey, what the hell happened the last 6 weeks?
6 weeks ago, there was so much excitement and positivity around the Devers trade. Can you explain what happened besides just playing bad baseball? I mean, how did this nosedive occur?
No, I can't explain it. I mean, I think we all wish we had something that we could concretely point to. But it's a really rough stretch. And unfortunately, you know, it's one that, again, we wish we weren't in this spot that we were trading away and we were adding at this point. But no, look, like I had the conversation with Bob after the Rodgers trade and just said, you know, from my end, the expectation is for us to go out and, like, we're going to play hard. We're going to play hard the rest of the way. The expectation is we need to play better. I've said it from the beginning, there's a brand of baseball that our fans expect. And that's going to always be the goal. The goal is every day to go out and try to win the game in front of you. Obviously, you're not going to win every day, but the mindset, no matter what the standings say, no matter how bad you feel like it is, like, that's what we have to do. And, you know, Bob obviously is on board with that.
I think he's just as confused as everyone else. Like, I think that even he, and then this is why baseball is great. It can also be a female dog. It can be awful because something like this can happen over 6 weeks, and even someone who's a Hall of Famer and is at the head of this organization cannot figure out what just happened. I think Buster Posey is confused about the last 6 weeks. I think he is frustrated because he can't explain it. Like, no one can explain what's happened to this team, why suddenly guys can't run the base pass, why suddenly guys can't communicate, why guys can't throw strikes, why guys can't get hits when they need to, why they're going 0 for 23 in a series with runners in scoring position. He knows that it's happening, and the results are what they are. But he cannot explain why they've nosedived over the last 6 weeks. And I think it's gotten to the point where he's frustrated by it, and that's why they had to sell.
There's no doubt. And, you know, you look at his just his baseball, like his record on the teams that he was a part of. Very few guys waltz into baseball and go to an 88-win team the year prior, all right? Because that's when he first came up, was 09. I went to one of Bumgarner's, like, he did a spot start at the end of 09. And that was an 88-win team. People forget, the 09 team was really good. They were really good. The playoff format is not what it is today, but they probably would have been in that mix had they not. And then he goes right to a team that wins the NL West. I mean, he's a big part of that in 2010. I believe they only had one losing season, the first five in baseball. I think that 2013, the wheels kind of fell off on him. So he's just accustomed to winning, I guess is what I'm getting at. And I think that very few guys start their careers on a better situation than he did as a player. And then, you know, taking over what he took over with this team, he took over the reverse of what he stepped into as a player. So this is kind of uncharted territory for him in the sense of, like, he is used to winning, I think, in general. I know the back end of his career, there was a lot more losing.
Yeah.
17, 18, 19. He sat out 20, comes back 21. They're a winning team. I mean, they're the all-time winning team for a regular season Giants team. But I think more times than not, he was accustomed to being in contention, in the winning zone, winning, winning, winning. So this is all new to him. You could feel it. I mean, I could hear it in his voice, the tone.
Exactly.
It seemed almost melancholy.
It spoke volumes. All right, it's time for the Golden State Valkyries Strongest Player of the Game, brought to you by El Camino Health. Our strength, your health. All right, it was a big win last night for the Valks, beating the Washington Mystics by just a point, 68-67. Kate Martin led the way with 14 off the bench, including this three to give the Valkyries a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter.
7 seconds to go. Crossover drill. Picks up the drill. Pick and roll. Back Bentley to Martin. Left wing. Three. Drills it with 2.8. Big shot for the Valkyries. 62-55.
KD on the call. 95-7 the game. And that was the strongest player in the game. Brought to you by El Camino Health. Our strength, your health. All right, when we return here on 95.7 The Game, Evan in for Spadoni with Shasky on the Morning Roast. Again, going to dig deeper into Posey and his comments from yesterday, what it signals about where the team is, where they can go, and what happens from here. We also got 49ers training camp news coming up later on. Bobby Evans at 8 o'clock, Bonte Hill at 9, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. All coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a
DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Like, just because you're a great player, just because you dominated college, high school, and then, of course, in the pros, that has no bearing on what is going on right now. When you're the president of baseball operations, it's your job to figure out where your team is at and how to get it to the promised land. And I think that over the last 6 weeks forced him to reconcile with the fact that this team is further away than he wanted it to be. And that, like we were talking about yesterday, we all thought it is, or thought it might be. You know what I'm saying? Like, this team is going to take some time. And I think that maybe we were just premature, and he might have been premature with his go time comments, with assuming that Devers was going to get this team to all these different places. Like, he's had to, I think, kind of take his lumps in the last 24 hours, 48 hours.
Players want to win tonight. Or today, or however you want to phrase that. Coaches want to win tonight. So a lot of the things that they do, it doesn't matter what the sport is. So a lot of the things that they do in terms of lineup decisions, combinations, rotations, plays, personnel groupings, pick the sport. They want to win tonight. The GM's job is to field the team as best you can for tonight with your eye on next week and next year. And the year after that. And you have to balance how much you should be in at any given time, you know what I'm saying, on the now versus sacrificing the future. I think the 49ers right now are in an interesting spot where they had to kind of sacrifice the now to be able to get some stuff for the future that costs a lot less now. It may not be as good now today, but you're hoping down the line is significantly better. Whereas in years past, it did feel like they sacrificed the future, which is today, to be better back then. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, that it's different in baseball versus the two salary cap sports. But I also think that in baseball, like, Posey's assuming that every team that he's a part of is going to be a winner until it's not. And that's what's been so, like,
jarring.
Just humbling about the last 6 weeks is, like, they have just cratered and absolutely collapsed to the extent that, again, we're hearing him talk as if he's just confused, I think frustrated, obviously. Did not expect, I think even a week or two ago, to be having to answer questions about trading Camilo Doval, Tyler Rogers, and Mike Yastrzemski. And this is how it went on going from a buyer to a seller.
You know, I don't know if there was like a aha moment when he said, all right, we've got to do this. I think Zach and I and Jeremy had, you know, just been watching the type of games we're playing. And again, we wish we were in a spot that we were adding. But as poorly as we played since the All-Star break, you know, I think we all felt like it was the best decision for the organization to try to get some pieces coming back that'll help us in the future.
Yeah, they got off of three games. They didn't completely strip things down, though. And that's where I think that as much as he sounds frustrated, his actions are also telling me, like, that's why I think he's confused. Because I don't believe that he believes that this team is as bad as they've played, and that's why they didn't completely get rid of everyone. Even though there were a couple of guys we thought they might have moved on from, Flores and Verlander being at the top.
Yeah, and you know, he also said, I think you're right on that. I think he is confused. I think that's actually a pretty good word. And sometimes sports happens, you know, and you just, there's really no explanation. I know people want, like, who's the fall guy? Why didn't, sometimes stuff just happens and you just underperform. You know, things like that are just part of sports. But, you know, he was talking about Robbie Ray and he's like, you know, we needed to be blown away on Robbie Ray. That to me is actually a good exercise. I think over the last couple of years, there's been too many times like, oh, we didn't even consider it, whether they did or didn't. I don't want to hear that publicly, you know, on a Blake Snell, on a Carlos Rodon. Mm-hmm. No, we think, I remember Farhan had a line. They had one time through their rotation fully healthy. That was after Robbie Ray returned. He was like, we have the best rotation in baseball. We would never even consider trading Blake Snell. And it was like, okay, Come on, man. Like, I didn't even want to hear that at that time. And I, whether that's true or not, I think the way you present things needs to be, you know, you got to use good PR. And I think saying that, hey, we did listen to offers for Robbie Ray, but we needed to be blown away. That tells me two things. Number one, they are worried about competing for next year. They're not just going to mail in 2026, which is obvious because you have a significant payroll investment. But also that, like, we did our due diligence. You know, we did our due diligence and we searched and we looked high and low to try to find something and it just didn't materialize to our liking. So, like, that tells me they did their job. And I wanted to hear that as a Giants fan yesterday.
Well, that's what made the Duvall trade, I guess, interesting to me. And this is from the 415 of the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. 888-957-9570 is the number, by the way. Giddings in for Spadoni with Shasky. What'd you make of yesterday? If you want to chime in on the conversation, please do. Morning. Can you please discuss the Duvall trade? Looking at the numbers and stats, it seems like the Giants received a very light return. Did Posey panic during the last minutes? It did come down in the final minutes by the 3 o'clock deadline. And then, is Duvall really not valued by Major League Baseball? I figured they'd get at least a top 60, maybe top 10 prospect for him, because they did get a couple top 25 guys. But I guess it was
25 in that team system.
Yes, and the Yankee system.
Maybe they mean top 60 overall.
Overall?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Look.
That's rich.
It is very rich. But again, like, there were a couple of relievers that netted top guys. I think the Phillies gave up two top 10 prospects for Johan Duran. Helsley got a top 8 player from the Mets. And I forget who. Oh, Mason Miller obviously got a top 3 guy from the A's.
I wonder two things. The first is, are we overrating Duvall's value relative to how baseball sees him?
Potentially.
Right. So that's one aspect. And then the other aspect is, did the Giants kind of come late to the party on opening up the doors on who they would trade? Because, you know, David Sampson was on with us. He used to run the Marlins. And he basically said, like, if you think these deals are done on a whim, you're tripping. Like, these things take weeks, you know, days or whatever. It's not like, hey, just pick up the phone and call like in Moneyball. He says that's just not how it works. And so, you know, maybe, you know, Ev, like, maybe they waited till Monday to finally, like, put Duvall out there, because maybe up until Monday or Tuesday, they were like, no, we are standing pat. We actually think we're in it. And then after you lose 6 in a row at home, maybe your algorithm changed. And by then, maybe teams have moved on to other closer deals or guys that they actually like a little more. And they would have considered Duvall earlier in the process. But again, they've moved on to acquire something else. That I don't have the answer for. We won't know. But yeah, I wonder it.
Well, just reading the market, it does feel like Duvall was... He's a good reliever. He's a closer on some teams, but he's not the guy that everybody wanted first.
Yes.
Like, again, Duran got traded first.
Totally.
Helsley got traded first. Even Bednar, who the Yankees also picked up and gave up a higher prospect for, got traded for first. And then you're looking at Mason Miller, who might be the crown jewel of them all. Like, that's four closers that got dealt before Duvall eventually the Giants got off of at the end, the very last second, literally, of the deadline. So, you know, I think that the Mets probably asked about him. They got Tyler Rogers. Like, I have to imagine that they talked about Duvall.
No, they apparently, that was who they wanted originally.
Rogers.
The Mets. That was a report like a week or two ago, like right going into that series.
And that tells me that they felt like Helsley was better than Duvall.
Yes.
Otherwise, you would probably just try to get both of them. Because
that's a great point.
You could just use that eighth overall prospect they gave up to get Helsley to go and acquire Duvall. So, yeah, I think that might be telling us what the market said, what other teams think about him.
And I also wonder, like, on the Robbie Ray thing, I think they waited till the very end on Robbie Ray, which I think was the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
I think he, more than any of the other guys we're talking about, was like if we're going to trade this guy, let's make sure we're really out of it, you know, which makes total sense. That's the smart thing. But, you know, in retrospect, it's like, maybe if they were first to market to put him out there, maybe they would have gotten blown away earlier in the process. I mean, these are all woulda, coulda, shouldas and unknowns, but these are the parts that fascinate me, you know, the deals that don't get done that we hear about so often.
And also, like, the starting pitching market was relatively bare. Like, the Twins sold everybody. If you go and look at the list of the players the Twins got off of, they got off of everyone except Joe Ryan.
Yeah.
Because Also, another player that did move that was expected to was Sandy Alcantara from Miami. Both of those teams needed to be blown away. I don't know what the potential ask was for Miami, but Boston, Minnesota was asking Boston for one of their ready-made outfielders and prospects, and they didn't want to give that up. I think that the Giants probably wanted a similar type of deal for Robbie Ray, and if they had gotten it, I do think that they would have considered trading him. But again, you have to be willing to walk away from a deal, and I think that's where I'm also reading what the Giants did specific to Doval, and I do think that after seeing how everything played out, looking at some of the pitchers and even some of the bats that weren't dealt, the Giants wanted to get off of Doval at the deadline.
I agree.
I don't know if they sold low. That remains to be seen.
We'll see.
But they determined sometime in the last couple of weeks that he was someone they were going to trade.
It's funny we talk about like the woulda, coulda, shouldas, and I saw all the deals. How did it land for Giants fans seeing Carlos Correa get dealt? There's an alternate universe where he's
back
still
to
like
a team he could win a World Series with?
No, I know, but there's an alternate universe where I was thinking about yesterday's deadline. Duvall, yes, this guy goes. There's an alternate universe where the Giants got Correa. He underperforms. He's got like 9 years left on his deal or 10.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.